What's up, it's Chase Young.
What's up, this is Terry McLaurin.
You're listening to the Washington Football Talk Podcast.
Bonafide emergency pod, and it's a positive emergency pod. A emergency pod. Big pain got big pain.
On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field, too, when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
What up, everybody? It's J.P. Finley. It's the Washington Football Talk Podcast. The momentum is real. I told you last week, all of a sudden, it sounded a lot better on the pain stuff, and boom. I thought they'd get a deal done, but I didn't know it would happen in 6 days or whatever. Major move by the Commanders here. Credit to Ron Rivera for getting this thing done. Ron says a lot, and sometimes you have to like try to figure out what matters, but he kept talking about how important it was to have his two D-tackle anchors on the really good teams he had in Carolina. And that kind of stuck with me in this process. And I'm happy for Deron, man. Deron is a nice, quiet, humble, unassuming fella. And they said, you know, prove to us that you're worth it. And he did. And now he's paid. Brought to you by Orsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them, want you to do the same thing. If you sign a $60 million guaranteed contract, go buy a Ford Bronco from Orsman Ford of Alexandria. Mitch and Peter here. Hey, boys.
Hello, JP. Before we get any further, I'll drop in the prediction you made at the end of last pod that looks so damn good right about now.
I am hesitantly, slightly kind of thinking they might get a pain deal done.
Oh, and dating back to Deron in open locker room to close the season when he was wearing that green sweatsuit, just talking about that he wants what he earned. He wants the money with the ownership situation and with the doubts of spending so much on two defensive linemen. I just didn't see this deal happening. We've been doing 100 chips with Deron, and I think I had like 90 out of 100 of my chips on him playing on the franchise or being traded. So when this news dropped and we're recording at 4:37, we probably saw it about half an hour ago. I was pretty flummoxed and surprised, but in a good way. They are now spending way more on the D-line than anyone spends. There are going to be $70 million allocated to that unit in 2023. In 2022, no one was above $55 million. And 2 years ago,
how much of that is sweat on the option year?
Sweat is like 15, Chase is 10, and then there's 18 and 21, I believe, for Payne and Allen, respectively. But yeah, this is a very aggressive way to build a team. It's a way that not many teams do to this extent or any have in the past few years. But if you're going to do it with a guy who will only be 26 by week one and who has only missed one game in 5 years. It's a really, really good development, I think, to keep Deron Payne in Washington. Him and Allen were actually the Alabama Wall last year.
It was a hell of a prophetic call by JP to make it happen, or by calling that it was going to happen. And you know what? It's a rare combination of a guy who is durable and is ascending every season. Every season he seems to play better and better. I love the signing. You certainly shore up that defensive line, especially the interior, and more so, especially as we talked about, you know, the Chase Young, whether they're going to pick up the fifth option and everything with the rest of the D-line. It's a sign to those guys, hey, if you play, you can get paid. We'll take care of you. And I think that's an important thing as they move forward. And it's a hell of a signing. And I love the way this defense is set up moving forward. Now they just got to get Cam Curl done.
I agree with all that. Let's run through the numbers. Schefter has it as a 4-year 90 guarantee of 60. Because Pete, you just said 21. That's the AAV though, right? I imagine his cap hit went down from the tag at 19.
That was just me looking at spot rack positional spending cap hit
right.
And all that.
We don't have the cap hit numbers yet for what Payne's going to be, but I'm sure that it goes down from the $19+ million cap hit that he had for the tag.
Because whatever this, I mean, if he's getting 60 in guarantees, he's not making 30 in the first 2 years. Like, that's got to be a big chunk of signing bonus. So I think all I'm saying is the cap number specific to Payne should have gotten better. Now, are they spending a lot? You could say on the D line, but you could almost just say particularly a D tackle. Hell yeah. So I think we've all pointed out the positives here. I think happy for Payne, happy for Ron getting it done. Shows that Dan is still, you know, active. Like, he's not completely checked out. It's not like an absentee landlord situation where you can't get your dishwasher fixed or something.
But it's also important that they got this deal done before some of these other D tackles that are up. Quinnen Williams is about to get paid. And, yeah. I mean, you got to get that deal. I like getting that deal done before some of these other dudes get their deals done, so the market doesn't get driven up out of this. This was, I think, kind of a smart, savvy move, and getting it done quickly was an important part of it in terms of, you know, looking at what the final numbers are going to be, because, you know, Payne's getting a little more AAV than what Allen got, but they're pretty damn close. So, you know, Allen can't be, you know, too salty about, you know, that whatever $1 million.
Yeah, but that's also like, I mean, that's right. The world, right? Like, he came up next. Yeah.
But I mean, I love it. I think it's a great deal.
All right. Let's run through kind of what the skeptics are going to say here. Payne had a monster year. It was a contract year. What's our level of concern there to jump from? I mean, I think his career high was like 4.5 sacks. Then all of a sudden he had 11.5.
Yeah. Career high was 5 as a rookie. Then he had 4.5 in the year before last. So before he exploded, he was more of a 3 to 4, 5 sack guy. The contract year, I am definitely worried. You're buying him at his absolute peak. But again, he's still so young. He's never missing time. He's never had any off-field issues. And he doesn't strike me as someone who's just going to be super flashy and stop caring about football. Daron Payne is almost like a Brandon Scherff type player, where I look at him and I'm like, you really just seem like you want to go out on Sunday, eat people alive, and then come back on Wednesday and lift and Thursday and practice and just like live and breathe football. So I think this is the type of player you want to build around, the McLaurins, the Allens, the Paynes. Sure, I would probably take the under on 11.5 sacks. That's such a rare number for someone of his position, but his pressure rate, his ability against the run, his tackles for loss, I bet you get really good production through the majority, if not for the entirety of this deal.
I mean, you also have to look at part of this is, yes, you can be concerned that he's not going to necessarily be able to replicate, you know, what he did last season, but he's consistently been a force on the inside. And, you know, whether he puts up double-digit sacks again next year or not, obviously, you know, you're paying the guy and you want those double-digit sacks, but you want a guy who's going to be a disruptive force in the middle. And as long as he and Allen continue to be, you know, they're the best defensive tackle duo in the NFL right now, if they continue to do that, then it's going to be money well spent. And on top of it, they're not spending on a quarterback right now. So you got a big gap. You got a big hole you got a lot of room in the salary cap to be financially fluid this way. And the fact that it's only a 4-year deal, you know, leaves you some wiggle room, because you know it's not going to be obviously fully guaranteed, and you know there's going to be some outs along the way. So I think all in all, if it's you're paying them, you know, 2 years, what do you think? 2 years, 50 mil or so. Is the 2 years, 3 years, 60 mil is the guaranteed money. That's not a crazy number.
Yeah, I wouldn't, as the math will emerge on the contract, I wouldn't be stunned if some of that 60 is guaranteed for injury versus like the fully guaranteed. I mostly agree with you guys. I think the contract year stuff, like, I think we're seeing Kristaps Porzingis play through a lot more stuff than he normally does because he's in a contract year. But, like, in the NFL where contracts aren't guaranteed, every year's a contract year. Kirk always used to say that, and that was even before he got on the road to nowhere franchise tags. Like, it's pro football. Like, ask Alex Smith, or, you know what I mean? Like, things happen. Who was the big fella that – tore his quad. Remember Mitch, the white dude from West Virginia?
Adam Carriker?
Chris Neal.
No, both of them. So, yes, Carriker was the Nebraska guy. Both those guys ripped their quad and never played again. Like, pro football is just such a brutal sport that I don't really buy into contract year stuff, especially in a non-guaranteed contract world. I do think to Pete's point, I probably wouldn't expect double-digit sacks again. But I do think some of that, man, was how well having both of them there and having both of them play at that level makes it really hard for O-lines to double-team. And I thought Sweat had a better year. I thought they got real good productivity on the other side for kind of that trio of DNs. And, like, you add all that up, and there's just a more consistent, persistent pass rush. And I think that you still saw spots of kind of, like, boneheaded – I don't want to say selfish, but perhaps like not rushing as a group or containing as a group or playing the run as a group. But I do think that got a lot better over the course of the year. I didn't expect it. A month ago, I would have said no. I presented this theory on the radio. Maybe I told you guys, but I think Ron is trying to establish a pretty solid identity so that when the new owner takes over, Rivera can be like, look, I've been here 3 years. This is what we've got. These are our strengths. We know we are locked up at wideout. We know we're locked up at D tackle. We really like our collection of young safeties. We like our corners. We know linebacker is an issue, but we don't play that many linebackers. We like our running backs. I think they're going to spend a lot of effort this offseason to improve that O-line. And so then a new owner gets there, be like, listen, we've built something here that we think is playoff caliber. We don't know what we have at quarterback. Eventually, maybe we will find out. But that, you know, like, he's like, all right, new owner, I've got this. I think this is a 10, 11 win group if I can get consistent quarterback play. Don't, you know, let me keep going. I really think that's what we're seeing, dude.
I think he's doing a really good job of building like a really strong floor. Like, these guys that they're signing to long-term deals are consistently healthy, high energy guys who, you know, there's not a lot of variability game to game with, you know, with their play. They're just solid football players across the board, and guys that, you know, that, you know, when they put on the helmet on Sunday, you know what you're going to get out of them.
Yeah.
And I think that's an important part. And I guess that's kind of your point about, you know, showing a potential new owner what you got. You know, I think for the most part, you know, there's not a lot of risk in any of these long-term deals that they've done, because they're guys that you can trust.
Yeah, I think the sales pitch that you outlined, JP, it makes sense. Now, I think the new owner may not care so much about the quality of the safeties and the depth of the D-line when he looks at Ron's record overall as a coach for double-digit seasons, and also Sam Howell needs to play really well this year or else the rest of the sales pitch doesn't matter. But I think just for an overall football team, you are building out your D-line. It's important to build out that O-line, but we've seen with the Eagles and other best teams in the NFL, having those two really solidified makes you just a huge contender. And with Payne, like, his pressure rate last year was 9.6. He had 11.5 sacks. His pressure rate the year before was 9.6%. He only had 4.5 sacks. The sacks can be a little variant, but as long as he's getting in the backfield, Allen's helping him out, this can be a really good signing. And again, it makes me a little nervous that they're going so heavy D-line. You don't see it. You see it to a good extent, but the Commanders are really committing, and let's see if for them, if that's the way to really build this thing. And you can do it when Howell is making so little.
Well, I mean, for like a Young and Sweat
right
deal.
Yeah.
I think it's a nice carrot for Young and Sweat. I know that we're talking about a lot of money being locked up, but we're saying today 4 years, 90 mil is a big number for Payne. But here's a list of guys who are going to get new contracts. D tackles are going to get new contracts this offseason. You have Jeffrey Simmons, Quinnen Williams, Christian Wilkins, Chris Jones, and Jahan Hargrave is a free agent in a month. I feel like this 4 year, $90 million deal is going to feel like a steal. Cause I think of that
group, a great point.
five or six of those guys could get all north of 100 mil.
Yeah.
And last I think year, that deal is going to look really good.
And, dude, for Payne's side, for his agent, for him, where does he rank on that list, dude? I mean.
And he's 26. It's a four-year deal. He has a chance for a second huge contract.
Sure. I mean, because this is going to be Chris Jones's third deal.
Right.
And the Cavs boys aren't going to let him get anything less than top dollar. Now, I can see that maybe in a shorter term. But, like, I mean, you give me that list again. I mean, Jeffrey Simmons is so damn good. This may be player-friendly and team-friendly, honestly. Like, he gets it done before the free agency courting. You don't want to be kind of last man standing, right?
Right.
That's a great point, big man. I think the other thing that stands out to me, and I can't – like, I was thinking about this, of the NFL voices that really matter. It's probably – I mean, Schefter's at the top, right? I don't think there's anyone close.
This is after us, right?
Yeah, for sure. but, like, on whatever day that was, Wednesday,
yeah,
you get the Mitchell Rails thing from Schefter, and then 3 days later, 4 days, whatever days, now he's got Payne. And listen, Schefter is so wired in that Payne news could have come from the agent. It could have come from Ron. Could have come from Mayhew. Could have come from Dan.
Like, yeah.
That's a big number. That ain't the veteran minimum that they're going to – who was my man, the tackle they signed on Thursday or whatever?
Drew Himmelman.
Dan ain't texted Schefter about it, you know?
Kalik Hudson's new deal just got so snuffed out by this news. Kalik Hudson's bitter right now.
JP. I imagine Kalik Hudson getting a second deal. He's not very bitter right now.
JP, you said this shows that Dan hasn't really bowed out, but do you think it also speaks to that?
I don't mean that. I'm not saying it shows that Dan hasn't bowed out. It to me, it validates very much that the sale is going on.
Right. That's
Schefter's getting that information from Dan, both about Mitchell Rails and about Daron Payne.
Got it.
And like, man, I don't know. The last post report was the first thing that like, really coincided with kind of was what I've heard that like, yo, everything's going well. Like everybody wants to make it about him getting voted out. Like all these like crazy scenarios. Like I think this is just a gigantic financial transaction that's taking a little bit of time.
Yeah. And requesting indemnification, if that's what he's really pushing, could slow it down a bit. But yeah, I think, you know, Mitchell Rails getting in on this, Daron Payne getting a pile of cash. We're all headed towards the conclusion everybody wants. And along the way, they've now hired Eric Bieniemy and signed Daron Payne for 4 years. It's been a pretty good offseason so far. And if Dan sells, then holy smokes, we'll all be on the Tischler tab at our local watering hole.
Let's go.
Tischler tab. I guess it puts Curl to the top of the list now.
I would have thought Curl was at the top of the list anyway, but certainly now there's not really a whole lot of
Payne had to be because he's a free agent starting, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Curl's got a year on the clock. Like, you can negotiate with Curl until October. I don't necessarily recommend that, but like the Curl thing can be like, remember on like when Facebook was a first a new thing and you could like poke somebody?
Yeah.
Like, all they need to do right now is send a poke to Curl's agent. Like, hey, we're thinking about you. And, you know, we got some time. Because the other part of this is, Mitch, you had a great point earlier about all the DTs coming up and the money that's going to get spent, right? Curl, I love the kid, but he's not Minka. Like, he's not Derwin James. He's not going to get top right. of the market. And it's an extension. So they're going to get a little benefit on their side anyway. So, like, even if the safety market nudges up here, that doesn't necessarily impact their timeline or price point.
Right. And Curl's a seventh rounder. He's made so little. Not that he's going to cheapen himself, but I think you can get that done pretty easily. But, yeah, right. Daron.
I mean, we were saying that about Terry. Imagine how Cam feels as a seventh round.
Yeah. I mean, Daron, the bottom line is, You're keeping one of your better players. You can quibble with, is it right to spend this much? Is it right to give a guy this much after a contract year? But he is a homegrown talent. He pairs really well with the guy who's right next to him, and getting interior pressure is one of the biggest trends in football. So overall, if I don't think you can give this anything worse than a B or a B plus. And if you're really feeling yourself, go ahead and slap an A on that paper and keep enjoying your march here.
That's that. I think they should sign Ben Jones. Mitch, you think they're sticking it out with Rouye, right?
I don't want them to go with a young center. So
you had McGovern on the last pod.
Yeah, I was talking about Connor McGovern. I think it's going to be interesting to see. Certainly the Rouye, retirement rumors are interesting.
Heard one person say it. I wonder if by me repeating it makes it a bigger thing than it should be. I didn't mean it for that.
Maybe, but I mean, I guess I saw that too, but maybe I saw it from the same place you saw it from. But certainly,
I just heard say it on the radio with Hoffman.
Certainly, it's something that I think that's a deal that can get restructured. And whoever is at center, I with the amount of turnover and the young quarterback that's going to be there, I want it to be a veteran guy who can kind of get that thing put together. So
I agree that I want a veteran at center with a rookie quarterback behind him, but also because you're probably you'd like to think that there's at least a rookie guard or a rookie tackle starting. If they take a tackle at 16 and they're like, all right, Cosby, you're bumping in, okay. Or if they take a guard at, 47 or something, I think you're going to have an infusion of youth.
Does this deal to eliminate all of our predictions that they wouldn't do a contract over $10 million AAV, or because Payne is an internal signing, are we still good and our prediction is still safe? I think we kind of think we lost.
Yeah.
I think we lost, but they did probably save some money, like cap wise, from 19 to whatever the new cap number would be.
For the listeners who don't understand that, and slash maybe the one host who's a little bit murky on that concept, could you just explain that real quick?
Yeah. So the AAV is average annual value of the contract, which is like roughly, if you want to say how much you make a year, it'd be
the 22.5 number.
Yes. Right. 90 divided by 4.
90 divided by 4 is your AAV, right? But the difference is signing bonus and roster bonus. Like you can dress up these bonuses in a lot of ways, but most of the time it's the signing bonus gets spread out over the life of the contract. So say he got a $30 million signing bonus. We don't know that number yet, right? But that is money that's part of the total valuation, but for a cap purpose is spread out throughout the life of that deal. So they're saying there's $60 million in guarantees. Some of that is base salary, but at least half of that's going to be a bonus. So that's going to lower the total. So let's just say it's, 22.5 AAV based on 4 divided by 90, right?
Yep.
And then if you're 30 years or 30 mil over 4 years is what?
Eight or nine.
Yeah, 8 or 9 a pop. So ideally you'd be lowering that down to – what would that get to? 16, 15 a year, something like that.
Yeah,
that's basically I'm driving on the beltway and I'm bad at math, but that's the rough idea.
That helped.
The basic idea is the AAV is the average for the 4 seasons, but they're paying them varied salaries each of the 4 years. So the fourth year of the deal, he's probably got a $30 million. He's probably making $30 million, but which means the front end of the deal, he's making less to even it out. And so that's how you get a lower cap hit earlier in the contract.
Yeah, I remember the Landon Collins deal. He was making some minuscule amount early on and then it really climbed. So, all right, that helps.
Yeah, but that's also – so while we're doing this, because dead money is a word that will get thrown around a lot this week. Dead money, when you get dead money on a contract is – let's say – so it's 4 for $90. Let's say – I'm guessing at least the fourth year has no guarantees on it, right? And let's say they release them after the third year, but there's a dead money hit. That dead money hit is the bonus money that got spread over the life of the contract. Like, you still have to account for that. So, like, just using our rough math and saying it's 30 and full guarantees and they're spreading out roughly eight a year, like, there would be a dead money hit on the end of that from that bonus that got spread around.
Look at JP, the non-math guy, getting all mathy over here with an assist from Professor Tischler.
I see. Are you NFL math?
Do you get it, Pete?
Yeah, definitely. And I think it helped many people listening in their cars, on their walks, etc.
I only ask because I feel like we're going to stop this record in 5-10 minutes when we're done, and you're going to be like, guys, I still don't really get it.
Nope. That's definitely good. Not going to happen.
All right, good. Good to hear, Pete. Glad Professor Finley taught you up well.
Yep.
I'm kind of feeling myself, so you guys want one more?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, hit us.
Bold prediction. Steph Diggs to Dallas.
Oh,
wow.
That would be bad news for Kendall Fuller and Benjamin St. Juice.
Sure would.
All right. I mean, you're looking like a crystal ball seer after last episode, so I want to see what this one does now.
The last one was fairly informed. This is – Dallas just created a hell of a lot of cap space. You know, they've all talked about how getting rid of Amari Cooper was a mistake. I think they're going to try to add at the receiver position. Trayvon's there. Jerry likes stars.
Yeah.
I don't know. Diggs has talked to the media in Buffalo for like the last 4 weeks of the season. I don't know.
Love it. Thank you.
Playing a hunch.
All right. I guess next pod is if/when they sign someone this week.
Well, I mean, will they do a pain presser, like a pain Zoom?
Oh, great question. I mean,
they probably should, but
yeah, they did one for Jerry.
I would think it's a Zoom and not a presser.
Yeah, he's been in Alabama working out and stuff. I don't know if he'd fly back.
You think Duran wants to fly back and put a suit on and talk to us?
No, he definitely wants to put a suit on. That's going to be a really brief Zoom presser.
He's one of the most stylish players. He probably wouldn't mind putting a suit on.
He's going to do it from his car, like hanging out, and like it's going to be 3 minutes, but it'll be a celebratory one nonetheless.
He's definitely stylish, undoubtedly. And maybe this is the kind of thing you want a damn presser for. Like Charlie's going to call him. He's going to be like, hell yeah, I want a press conference.
Who knows?
I kind of doubt it, but you never know.
I'll go under half 0.5 in-person pressers for Daron Payne's extension, but I also didn't think he'd sign, so what the hell do I know?
I will also go under. That's it. You said the number quite well.
Well, it's hard to have a different number than 0.5, but I agree.
I'll go under 0.0001.
Yeah. Hey, Daron, what does this mean for you and your family? Yeah, I'm just real happy to get this extension, man, and play football.
I can't wait to play more football. Yeah.
Thanks, Daron.
Dude, I don't know if I told you guys this. Remember we tried, it was bad that we didn't record it, but we were trying to do our Mahomes impressions after the pod last week.
Yep.
So I tried to get B to do one on air because B is like, he's really good at making like animal noises. So I didn't know if maybe he could do a Mahomes impression, and he refused, being Brian Mitchell. But we had a caller call in who was excellent. And I think the guy said he listens to the pod also. So if I remember correct, the dude's name was Dan in Stafford. So if Dan in Stafford wants to send in some Mahomes impression on the Daron Payne extension to Pete's email, which I know offhand, but I don't know if you want me saying it.
You could say
Please give out his phone number again.
No, we'll do it. phail2189@gmail.com. phail2189@gmail.com. Everybody.
Let's do this. Yeah.
Oh, how about 240?
I edit this podcast. I'm going to edit in your phone number.
I got a good idea. I'm requesting Mahomes. Mitch, who do you request?
Oh, I want Mr. T.
Mr. T is a great request. Pedro, who's your request?
I want to hear the guy who helped draft Daron Payne, Jay Gruden, on the extension.
All right, we need extension. Well, that's kind of your bit. You want to let somebody
that's
else
your
do
bit.
Your bit?
I do. Spread the bit around. Okay.
All right, so we need a Jay Gruden, a Mr. T, and a Patrick Mahomes reaction to Daron Payne's extension. Email the audio to Pete, and we will run them in our next podcast.
It's such a good idea. God, you're so brilliant sometimes. Sometimes
I'm now driving in Langley Park. Comes and goes. I'm an idea guy. Not much for execution.
That's what we're all here for.
All right, boys, this has been fun. Congrats to Ron. You got paid. You deserve it. I don't like how the franchise tag has become weaponized for NFL teams. And I do like when a young man works his ass off, shows what he can do, and gets rewarded. So I'm happy for Payne, seriously, on a personal level. Thank you for listening. And we'll be back later this week. Hopefully there's a heck of a lot of news. Who knows what's going to come. If you made it this far, I owe you a beer. It's probably, I mean, Schefter's at the top, right? I don't think there's anyone close.
This is after us, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.